What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's Brian and Mario here to recap Super Wild Card Weekend. How are we doing today, Mario?
Brian, we're not doing too super. This is a safe space. We can be honest. We're not doing... That laugh's crazy. I don't understand. I would think the Shane Steichen camaraderie would be there, but it's not. Birds lost. That's okay. The worst thing at this time is that KP has not been fired yet. At the time of this recording, he is still employed. And I said it going into these playoffs, either win it all or lose the first week so we can kind of do some kind of refreshing. And we lost the first week. So now let's get to it. On to next year.
Oh, man. Dude, this, we are recording just before kickoff of the Monday night game. So we're 5 of 6 in the book. And I have to say, probably the best opening weekend I've ever seen in football. Now, granted, this last game, the one that's placed on Sunday night, wasn't the best necessarily. A nice defensive bout for the grandpas that are out there watching it. But, overall, we had 4 games that were decided by 4 points or less, back and forth each time, and this included the 7th seeds. You know, these teams that didn't deserve to be here, the Panthers, with their losing records. You know, this was a great weekend. Overall impression, I guess, how was it for you?
It was such an incredible weekend. You talked about it. Every game finishes a 1-score game. Even the Chargers-Patriots game, as much as a snoozer as it was, for 3 quarters of that game, it was a 1-score game until Hunter Henry got that touchdown. So watching that game, I was thinking, there's still a chance. It's it just takes one play for the Chargers to get back into this game. That one play never came. We'll get to their future in that game. But excellent weekend. NFL still on top. Good job, NFL.
You know what? Just when you say Hollywood's got nothing left, nothing in the tank, they're not good at writing, look at the script writing they did. Perfect. Perfect 4 of 5 games. We got one more tonight. It's Houston. It's the Steelers. Obviously, you're listening to this. You know the outcome. But, and you probably heard the announcers talk so many times. You know what, Mario, you brought it up before the show. Steelers haven't lost a Monday night game in, 30-something appearances years. That. Yeah, and then you've got Houston, who's never won a road playoff game. They are the youngest franchise, right? Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, they were last. I think it was Panthers and Jags before that. But, yeah, anyway, so, yeah, the newest franchise out there looking to climb the ranks as far as would you say tied for 31st in playoff wins with the Cardinals?
So here's a fun stat. I found this on Reddit. Shout out NFL Reddit and that user. If the Texans win yesterday, so if they did win, they will be tied with the Arizona Cardinals in 31st place for 7 playoff wins. And just as a little refresher, like you mentioned, the Texans were founded in 2002. The Cardinals were founded in 1898. So... Down's bad.
Crazy. That's crazy. That's a good find. I like that one.
That's a good one. Shout out Reddit.
Well, let's start out with Saturday here. We had a 10.5 point. This was supposed to be the worst game of the setup. They put it first early Saturday afternoon in case you're going to miss part of it. No. Rams squeaked by with a 34-31 win. Matt Stafford threw it for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Bryce Young over there completing 21 of 40. Not great, but 264, a touchdown, and then, of course, a rushing touchdown as well. Not bad. Not too bad of a back-and-forth shootout there. Running game was not much.
It's been not much all season, but this was an absolute cinema of a game. There was, I believe, 4 lead changes in the fourth quarter, 28 points scored in that fourth quarter. A great game. I'm really happy and proud of Carolina for hanging in there. I thought they could do it. I picked Carolina, of course, against the odds. They covered, but I really wanted to see them keep pounding. I was ready to fire off those keep pounding tweets.
Yeah, we had Puka Nacua come in with 10 for 18. Wild. 111 and a touchdown. He wasn't even the guy to be talked about this game. Jalen Coker, second-year wide receiver for the Panthers, 9 for 12, 134 and a touchdown. McMillan caught 5 for 81, Leggett 1 for a measly 8 yards. Jalen Coker coming onto the scene. How are we feeling about this just with the last little taste that you're going to have in your mouth about him going into this offseason, potentially as the number 2 alongside with Tet McMillan?
you're feeling excellent. You know that Bryce Young's fifth-year option is going to get picked up. You see this team is trending upwards. You see that the NFC South is kind of a dumpster right now. The Saints had a good push towards the end. There's a lot of question marks around both Atlanta and Tampa Bay. So you feel great in the Panthers' position. And like you said about Coker, if you have any dynasty shares of him, you are doing victory laps. You have something bright to look forward to next year.
Well, I guess let's kind of open that up then, as far as like what we have to look for in the Panthers anyway. Just like, you know, going forward now that they're out of the playoffs, the situation. So you've got Bryce Young, like you said, they're probably going to pick up that fifth-year option. The window for him to be extended will open this offseason. They've got Chuba Hubbard. Rico Dowdle will be a free agent. You saw in the post-game conference, he wasn't too happy. Just a five carries for 9 yards, 2 targets, 1 catch for 6 yards. He wanted more. He wanted more in that game. He didn't get it. So it sounds like he wants to go. Not only does he want to be a starter somewhere, he's going to go elsewhere to figure that out. They do have Chuba Hubbard under contract. Trevor Etienne was a day 3 pick for him. But Jonathan Brooks, the running back that they took last year, I believe he was the highest taken running back last year, or 2024, not 2025. He's taken double ACL tear. Tore one in his senior year, and then he tore one last year as well, right as he was coming back from it. So there is speculation that he could be coming back into this third season. Maybe he can, you know, be healthy. We've got these wide receivers. What direction do you see this Panthers team needing to go to make that adjustment? Is Bryce Young the future of this team?
I think really the biggest thing they need to do is it all comes down to Bryce Young, right? Like I feel confident enough in their weapons. Like we said, Jalen Coker and Tet McMillan, both of those guys look terrific. Even if Rico Dowdle walks, Chuba Hubbard had himself a day, 13 carries, found the end zone twice. I think this team just comes down to Bryce Young, right? If Bryce Young continues to do, even in this game, he wasn't terrible. Threw the ball 40 times, completed a little over half of them, 21 for a touchdown and a pick. The pick wasn't great, but he played well. I think he could do good enough in that division. And then it's all about when you get into the dance, anything can happen.
And it's, I don't want to say it's a smack the Jekyll and Hyde label on him, because I don't think it's that extreme, but there are plays where you watch him like, wow, that was a good, just like him bootleg it out, scramble out, climb the pocket, make some great throws. Like the touchdown throw to Coker, beautiful. You can't ask for a better throw. Just up over the top in the corner of the end zone. Absolutely amazing. And then there's other times you're like, your skill level isn't generational, obviously, and it looks like your height is hampering what you're able to do right now. And I just wonder what that ceiling is. Do we know the true ceiling of Bryce Young, or can we continue to develop into your, like, look at Trevor Lawrence. This is your 5 for him, and he is finally fully blossoming. I say finally, I think there still could be some more, you know, this is only one year with his coach, but you know, Bryce Young's have Dave Canales now, multiple years, and this would be what, year 3 with him. I wanted him to he needs to take another step, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I agree with that. And I think that sometimes we're a little spoiled with some of these quarterbacks, right? For like sure. Some of these guys, like Drake May obviously took a huge leap. We saw Jaden Daniels last year. This year he was obviously hurt. So I think it just kind of warped our expectations. I think if Bryce Young he is taking smaller steps, it's just sometimes he doesn't look comfortable at what he is great at, right? Like you just said, like he excels in some things, he is confusing in others. If he just continues to believe in himself, I feel confident in Carolina. But it's a very tricky line, right? Because you can't just, there's a lot of guys worse than Bryce Young. So I don't think you ever just give up on him and you say, let's re-roll. I think you just keep rolling with him and you see what happens.
If you are a Carolina fan, if you are in the mindset of that, do you want to extend him now, or do you want to wait till the last moment? Do you want to go into that fifth year? You know, do you need more information, or if you like, do you think he would be ready to? Because I feel like this would be similar to the Daniel Jones trap of what the Giants had. You know, like he had a really good year, they extended him. And then they were kind of stuck with him. They didn't know what to do.
It's really tough. Like you mentioned Daniel Jones. My mind went to Kyler Murray, who signed a 5-year, $230 million contract. And that's just, both of those numbers are a little higher than what I'm comfortable with. But I just don't know if you could get away with a 3-year contract for a quarterback, right? That was almost what I would feel comfortable with. But I wouldn't blame Bryce Young for, you know, turning his nose at that, but you just got to protect yourself. So I think it is, you just play it out and you gamble, right? I mean, the worst case is you pay him and you have a quarterback, but you're right. I mean, the worst case is the Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray situation. You're just crossing your fingers. It's not that.
100%. Nice. You ready to go to Chicago?
Let's go to Chicago. Oh my goodness. I'm more ready than Green Bay to go there, because what happened to them?
This game started out chippy. I love a good rivalry. The fact that we have to see rematches of divisional games a third time sometimes, it can be a little, I don't want to say nauseating to me a bit, but I'm like, let me see some different matchups here. Let's mix it up here. But this one in the end, it turned out pretty good. It was a good game. Jordan Love, 24-46, 323 yards, 4 touchdowns. Caleb Williams over there, 361 yards, 2 touchdowns. And not much on the ground from either one of these guys. Josh Jacobs couldn't really get anything going. DeAndre Swift had a few breakaway plays, but same thing over there. The true story came down to, you know, the passing game and just these defenses, you know, when they made plays. And that was at 4th and 10, the Caleb Williams throw.
4th and 11. Oh, my God. Yeah, sorry.
So good.
Unbelievable. I mean, I'm not even a Packers fan. I'm yelling at my TV. You're like, how does that throw happen? He was in the air. He was in the air. And he threw that ball. And I love DJ Moore, so I was very conflicted, but how do you let that happen? How do you give up 25 points in the fourth quarter?
Epic collapse. And then when all the pictures come out afterward about Matt LaFleur being a part of the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl collapse, you're like, oh, this isn't out of the realm of possibility. Or, you know, this is something similar for him, which, you know, we'll probably develop into that. But wide receivers, Romeo Doubs, 124 yards and a touchdown as he's going into free agency. DJ Moore, as you said, 6 catches, 64 yards and a touchdown. Luther Burden, only 42 yards, but looked good here. Roma Dunze, key catch, but 2 for 6, 44. Daddy Odunze, where were you, buddy? If you were going to hype up your kid, it was probably going to be the playoff game.
Yeah, get those Twitter fingers out.
Yeah, and most importantly, talk to me about Colson Loveland here. Like, what kind of show did he put on for
goodness.
You?
Goodness, has he been unlocked? I mean, I'm looking at it now. He had 8 catches. I don't see how many targets, but 137 yards. It felt like that if it was ever, hey, 15 targets for the tight end. He's someone who, if people don't pay attention in the playoffs, he should start climbing in the draft grades for next year, right? He was someone I was excited about going into this year. Took him quite a while to get going. You know, again, like, we're spoiled by these Brocks, etc., but the Tyler Warrens, but Colson Loveland, he truly became the guy. He became the guy we thought Odunze would be. DJ Moore came back from the dead, which was cool to see. So yeah, you Loveland. I mean, that's all to say there.
Absolutely. I don't like picking, you know, we talk about it every draft season, folks. I hate picking tight ends in the middle round, in that, like, if you will, the zone area. First couple, sure, I'll take one of the elite ones. After that, give me the double digit rounds for tight ends. We'll clean up, we'll do well. We know how it works. Colson Loveland has officially made it to that point where I don't want to draft him. Like, he could completely return on his capital, but man, you're right. He's going to be, what do you think, around 6, somewhere in there?
I think he very well could be. I think he could be like 6-7 range. It's so tricky because he really is emerging. Yeah, there we go for the visual watchers. It's so tough to see. But I want to keep the talk on rookies, but I want to flip to the other side. Matthew Golden caught his first career touchdown. What a time to do it. He looks great today. It's just like, I'll say this game, the Packers looked good at times. Like, they obviously missed their kicking game. A couple things, Austin. They're kicking one thing. But Jordan Love, 4 touchdowns, 300 yards, no turnovers. 4 different pass catchers caught a ball. And it was all the hits, right? It was anyone you ever questioned about starting in fantasy, you got yours. Dobbs, Golden, Reed, Watson. It really just, they did not play a complete game.
And Watson had a second touchdown if he didn't fumble it. As he freaked out in the air, man.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I had some fantasy lineups with him in there, and I was like, oh, I was like so excited. And it just, like, oh, well, a little bit of a letdown there on that second one.
Yeah, it was tough to see. But, I mean, like I said, it's really tough. But credit to the Bears. They looked good. This is an awakening. This was a metamorphosis game. Like, there is 100 times out of 100 the Bears lose that game, and they didn't. So credit to them. And Caleb Williams, when he gave the game ball to the coach Ben Johnson, I found it touching. And I don't like Caleb Williams. I don't. And damn it, I was upset with how touching I found, how moved I was by it. So there you go.
Yeah, game ball to the coach, first playoff win, first one for the Bears in like 15 plus years. Like, good for them. It's a happy moment. Happy moment. On to the Rams. Bears get to host another playoff game. Good. Look at that. Look at that. But great. Let's talk about the team that's going home, the team that is done for the year. Look, you kind of talked about all the four different wide receivers getting some. This is what we need. I love me some Tucker Kraft, but he gets in the way of these wide receivers feasting. Aww. You know, if we can get the running game shut down and we can get Romeo Doubs going for over 100 and a touchdown, we can get Golden getting a touchdown, Reed's catching one, Watts, like, that's what we want for fantasy. And Matthew Golden, man, 4 for 5, 84 and a touchdown. That's what we wanted just a glimpse, a couple of glimpses of that throughout the all. And like, now he's in like purgatory with some of the worst draft picks ever because of his, you know, his running data. We'll probably talk about this offseason, but let's talk about Matt LaFleur. Currently has a job, speculation that he could be losing it. This season, the Packers led by 10 against Cleveland. Guess who won that game? The Packers led by 13 against Dallas. Guess who won that game? Huh? Nobody. It was a freaking tie.
Nobody won that game.
They led by 9 in Denver, led by 10 in Chicago, and then led by 18 in Chicago. They lost all of those games. Matt LaFleur, there is a drastic difference in how well they do. His shotgun and under center snaps were almost 50-50 in the first half. Second half, when they're winning, it's all shotgun, no under center. Drastic change in the game plan, and they just couldn't hold on to the lead. Do you think Matt LaFleur deserves to be fired?
Oh, what is he? I think he has 1 year left on his contract. It's so tough to say, and this is something some of my Eagles buddies were asking. It's like, if he gets fired, what I want him is the Eagles offensive coordinator.
You guys want anybody. Come on, let's be honest.
We would take anybody, but it is like, take he's Rex not Ryan my first
at this point.
Okay, relax. I love Mark Sanchez as much as the next guy, but bad time too. But so with Matt LaFleur,
that one cuts deep.
Yeah, I do think he's safe. He's gotten his team to the playoff, I think, 4 years in a row. But something is to consider is that they've been the 7th seed 4 years in a row. So if it was not for the 7th seed, they would be on the outside looking in. That's real tough to say. And his offense,
I think the 7th seed has only won one game since we've added the 7th seed into this whole thing over the last 6 years. So I think there's an argument like, does it really matter? That 7th seed should be.
And it was them. So. It was them beating Dallas, the 7-2 matchup. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, so it was them going to Jerry World. So a little bit of credit there. It is so tough. I think you keep him, but it's just, there's definitely things that need to change. And it's just, how do you improve? It's really tough. He's, again, like we almost talked about Bryce Young, but I think he's a little higher. It's just like, can you really improve? Or is this just like, hey, we're getting ready to do a hard reset? And I think that's almost what moving on from Matt LaFleur entails.
And it's an interesting situation because, I mean, the Ravens just made their decision and how they're going to handle it. The Steelers, you know, we are yet to see how that works out if they're one and done here in the playoffs.
Yep.
But it's an interesting theory of just talking about that whole situation with the coaches. You know, you have a really good coach. You see a lot of success, a lot of wins, playoff appearances, maybe some playoff wins too. But if the same thing keeps happening, do you just say, oh, you know, we're bound to win one? Look at John Harbaugh. He was bound to win one. He did win one, you know, but then it's just kind of the same thing over and over. So you're hoping you just luck into one and take that above average success? Or do you continue to roll the dice, continue to churn, willing to take some bad, looking for the absolute great? Because you're not going to find Sean McVay's unless you kick the tires on those.
You're absolutely right, but I'm almost of the belief where it's like, once you get into the dance, anything can happen. So if you can get a guy
100%.
Who can consistently get you in there, I mean, there's no better example to me than Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning, right? It's just like, once you get in there, sometimes things just click. And again, like Jordan Love did his job, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, a single sack. Like, he did his job. It's just you have to fine tune a couple of these things. So I would say you keep him. I'd say I think he gets you to the dance one more year. The biggest question to me is if he does have the 1 year left on his contract, that's always the zone where you either have to extend a guy or move on from a guy. And that I'm a little non-committal towards. That's where it gets tricky.
Yeah, I thought I saw reports that they are looking to extend him here in the coming weeks. But who knows? I also saw word that Mike McDaniel was safe, and we saw how that turned out.
And see ya.
Speaking of the AFC, let's head on over there. Let's check out how the Bills dismantled the Jags, kind of, 27-24. 27-24. Josh Allen, 273 through the air and a touchdown. Two rushing touchdowns with his 33 yards. Trevor Lawrence, 207 yards passing, three touchdowns, two picks. James Cook held in check, just 51 total yards. Travis Etienne had himself a pretty good day. Tootin, too. Tootin was weird. Four carries, 51 yards, had all of that, and I'm pretty sure the first quarter. We didn't see a whole lot after that, so I don't know if he was a little banged up or what, but Etienne did well, 37 on the ground, five catches, 49 through the air, and a touchdown. And then, oh boy, Parker Washington came out there like the stud he is. Seven catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. BTJ had a touchdown. Khalil Shakir, 12 for 12 and 82. Like, immediately soaked up the Ty Johnson role. I went there and smashed James Cook's receiving props all over the place when I saw Ty Johnson wasn't going to be in. No. It was Khalil Shakir that turned into that role.
15 targets. And you look at who's had the second most targets on that team. Brandon Cooks. Like, remember him? Like, unbelievable to see. But that just really shows how damn bad this team is. Keon Coleman, just a single target. He's kind of been in the doghouse these last few games. And then their pair of tight ends got a combined eight targets. It was definitely a messy game for them.
Yeah. Gabe Davis got a little banged up in that game, too. Shaver's just the two targets. This is... Honestly, it's funny that they're going up against Denver this coming week because they're going to play Patrick Surtain. And Patrick Surtain, like, he shadows your number one receiver, but he won't know what to do when there isn't a number one receiver on the team.
Five-head play. I love to see it. Yeah, he's just going to be shadowing Josh Allen, right? He's just going to, like, he's just going to play spy.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea. I don't hate it. Yeah, Dalton Kincaid came out with a touchdown, decent day-ish. And then, not a whole lot else there. Brenton Strange, 2 for 9. Two catches for 9 yards, that is.
The big thing I want to call out is freaking Brian Thomas Jr. waits until the playoffs to get his touchdowns.
Yeah, third touchdown of the season for him. Catches one early in the game. Pretty quiet outside of that. I really thought I was excited because it was the first drive of the game. They go down there, they score, they do well, they get the touchdown for him. Maybe it was the second drive of the game. I'm trying to remember now. But anyway, two targets. That's all we had. Parker Washington got knocked out of the game with a concussion. Still ended up coming back, getting 12 targets. Two carries as well. Like 14. Yeah. He's going to be a free agent. This is an interesting situation because they traded for Jacoby Myers. He's extended.
Yes, he is extended. That's the other interesting thing. And it's so curious with these wide receivers, right? Because they can be a dime a dozen. You can find guys in the draft or trade them for cheap draft picks, kind of like what they did with Myers. But when you have Brian Thomas Jr. take the step back, Myers has shown his flashes, but it's really tough when this guy who just got 12 targets, 100 yards, and a touchdown in your playoff loss, a very close playoff loss, it's tough to imagine they're going to let him walk out the door.
Yeah, Parker Washington's going to end the season with 107 yards, 87, 115, and 145 yards, and three touchdowns in those four games.
But if I learned anything after last year, it's just that not to draft an early Jacksonville wide receiver.
At this point, yeah, there's no idea who to, because, I mean, folks, don't forget it. Let's not bury the lead. We got Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is on this team. He is a wide receiver. In addition to a cornerback, he plays two positions here, folks, but he does play this position. He will be back. So we have a predicament here as far as, I mean, it's a good predicament to have too many options, too many weapons, but the things to think about here in Jacksonville.
Yes. Curtis Trevor Lawrence had this perfect 3-2-1 countdown stat, three touchdowns, two picks and a sack.
Counted his way right out of the playoffs.
Oh, man. But, I mean, the Bills, they got their first road playoff win since, I think it was 94. Credit to them. Josh Allen continues to me, looks like the best player, the best single player in these playoffs, right? Like, if there's anyone whose ball you want in the hands, it's Josh Allen. He looked great. And it's just, can he continue to do it with the box of scraps that's built around him? I think Sean McDermott's job is safe after this. I think we'll obviously see. But to me, it was always like a one-and-done situation was putting him at risk. He got that monkey off his back. And the Jags look great. Like, I mean, they had 13 wins this year. I could expect them to be a problem for years to come.
That was going to be the question there. Where does Jacksonville go from here? They don't have their first round pick, part of the trade to acquire Travis Hunter. They also made a trade to get Jacoby Myers, we just kind of talked about. Travis Etienne and Parker Washington, I guess, will be the two big targets here as they both hit free agency. I feel like Travis Etienne earned a contract to come back. Like, it is his Clemson buddy and Trevor Lawrence. You know, they played ball together. They got drafted together. Tutin and LaQuinn Allen, I think, are great, but I don't see these two guys being the backfield. Like, I think they need a third piece, whether it needs to be as good as Etienne or not. But I guess your thoughts on these two.
You said it so well. I'll do a little analogy for the pitcher list listeners, where it's just like Tutin and LaQuinn Allen, they're just a couple of middle relievers, right? Like, you still need a guy to go up in there and soak up those 5-6 innings. To me, that's Travis Etienne. I wouldn't be surprised if they franchise tag him, right? Like, how many times do you see a franchise tag their running back? So to me, that seems like the more obvious choice than Parker Washington. So you do mention Travis Hunter is coming back with a full offseason of work, one more year of just NFL speed. And you got to hope there's some positive regression for Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, I know fantasy loves saying positive regression, but I feel like we're in line for that here.
Yeah, because this running back class, just as like the early peak that I've taken a look at it, you got a top guy and that's about it. It's a very thin running back class this year. So, yeah, I honestly, Travis Etienne's 26. That franchise tag, that sounds perfect. Get them through another year of his prime. Not too much of a commitment because they've got a lot of defensive pieces they have to pay. Like, we watched that defense cause havoc. They need to keep as much of that as they can. Trevor Lawrence's deal is only going to continue to balloon. And, most of these wide receivers may be cheap right now, but you're going to have to start paying some of them. So, yeah, a franchise tag with ETN, get him to the 2027 draft to get him a complimentary piece for Tutin at that point. I think this team is here to compete. They will probably be the AFC South favorite going into next year. Like, I like them more than the Texans, even if the Texans fix that line.
I think that's just going to be a big thing, right? It's like they both have a couple of question marks. Like, the Texans, when C.J. Stroud has time, they look incredible. It's just that's a huge problem right now. Joe Mixon obviously didn't play. I mean, who knows? Maybe maybe he stunned the world and dominated Monday night. I doubt it. So it's going to be a great division going forward. And then you have the Colts in it.
Yeah. I'll talk to you in 2027 about them. Just going to take the year off, going to purgatory for a little bit. Speaking of purgatory, that's where we were in.
Wow.
The link, baby. That's right. We were in Philadelphia watching the Niners come in there. They brought their electromagnetic powers surging from the plant all the way to Philadelphia. Took them down. 23-19. Brockley Purdy going up there for 262, 2 touchdowns, 9 carries for 24 yards. Jalen Hurts, modest day, if we will. 168 and a touchdown, 5 carries for only 14 yards. Come on, break it down for me, Mario. What did you see there with the eagle vision?
Those eagle eyes, right? So birds are out. I said it last week. You know, either win it all or you got to lose early because this gives you a whole extra month to be like one of these, you know, poverty franchises like the Colts where I can just have this time to look for new coaches. I don't just have to pick up the scraps.
Taking shots unnecessarily.
hurting people. Jalen Hurts, if you're looking at the box score for all those box score warriors, he didn't have the best day. But if you watch the game, you could just see Big Dom had more second half catches than A.J. Brown did. A.J. Brown had more third down drops than he's had all season. That was just what killed him, is drops and penalties. That's something I've complained about these Eagles all season. They had false starts at home, Brian. Like, this is your home. Like, how are you false starting? The 49ers had one penalty against them. And to me, it was like such a soft penalty. They hit Jalen Hurts when he's running. And like, that was the only thing they were penalized on. So absolutely undisciplined. There's going to be a lot of questions next year just going into who re-signs, who we have to let walk. But it's tough. It's tough to repeat, and we're just happy we made it back this year in a row.
Yeah, we're spoiled with teams like the Patriots in past years, you know, the Chiefs obviously of late. But repeating is rough. It's tough. NFL is, I mean, it's one and done. Most of these other,
yeah,
I believe all the other playoffs, yeah, you've got a series that you got to go out there and win. Yeah, you got one bad game, that's it. And that's kind of what Philly had. They just couldn't get it done. The defense couldn't hold long enough for the offense to take over. Saquon Barkley, 26 for 100 yards, 25 through the air. Christian McCaffrey, again, like always, it's the 48 on the ground. And then the 66 through the air, two touchdowns. Nice. Juice was even getting involved, four catches for the 49 yards. DeMarcus Robinson looked hot there at the beginning and held on there with 111 yards on a touchdown. Juwan Jennings, 45 yards on one catch. But, of course, it was the touchdown pass to McCaffrey that Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings now has more career postseason touchdowns than Derek Carr. Yeah, passing
such a
touchdowns.
Shot. It's such so a many. Shot.
I know. I saw that on Twitter. I think like, he has. Oh, that's great.
I think he has as many as Justin Herbert has also.
Yes. Yeah. We'll great. Yeah, Juwan Jennings. Look at him. Look at him. You know who you couldn't look at? Oh, go ahead.
No, I love Juwan Jennings. I mean, I targeted him a ton in the regular season, so it hurt me to see him do me like that.
Speaking of those electromagnetic fields, George Kittle, this was rough. This was my part in rooting against the Eagles that I don't like rooting for these teams like the Niners in this situation. They just lost George Kittle to a torn Achilles. Like, that's not cool. Like, I don't necessarily, like, now you're almost watching the next team get a freebie. Because, like, how much competition is this Niners team going to be without Nick Bosa, without their middle linebacker? It's escaping me. But, you know, no Kittle. Ayuk never came back. Ricky Pearsall can heal from gunshot wounds, but he can't get over whatever soft tissue issues he's having here. It's tragic. And if we lose Christian McCaffrey in this next game,
Niners
are just done. But it's rough. It's rough to see Kittle go down. Age 32 and a torn Achilles. We might have just lost Kittle and Kelce all in the same month.
It was tough to see. And what was crazy for me to just witness was the very next play, they took another DeMarcus Robinson shot, and it just worked. That was honestly another thing that worked really well for San Fran. The Eagles defense did a great job at holding them to a lot of like either like three and outs or just these short drives, but it was either that or all of a sudden the 49ers would rip off a 40-yard completion because a blown coverage or just something worked really well, and it just sucked all the energy out of the drive. And again, the play after Kittle gets carted off, they just – rejuvenated, you know, like how they play well through this adversity. Maybe they're just used to their guys going down so much it doesn't faze them. I don't know, but they look good. They held in there.
I mean, they are. I mean, since they've been in Levi Stadium, man, they have been one of the just heavily brutalized by injuries, and especially these big ones. You know, these Achilles tears, they're rough. So I guess I want to talk about the Niners and where they go next year, but they move on. So let's talk about Philly. Let's talk about where they go on for next year. Jalen Hurts, of course, under contract. Saquon Barkley under contract. Tank Bigsby, who they acquired. I believe he's got one more year. You got Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown under contract. Dallas Goedert still there. So not a lot's going to change. It's the defensive end.
Dallas Goedert is a free agent going into
He is a free agent. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So a couple key guys that I could mention, because, again, I'm also like very in their Twitter, so just easy way. So Jalen Phillips, who they was a midseason acquisition, he's on defense linebacker. I expect them to try to make a push for him, but it's tough because our other linebacker, Nakobe Dean, who has been electric. Mm-hmm. So both of their very key linebackers, I don't think they'd retain them both. Both of their tight ends, Dallas Goedert and Grant Calcaterra. I'd love to keep Goddard because he became the first tight end to have a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown in one game in the playoffs. So we love seeing that. But and he just set the franchise record for most touchdowns for a tight end. But it's just, can you afford to keep him on the books? Someone that's not a free agent, but a big question mark is, of course, A.J. Brown. So
You can afford Dallas Goedert if you get rid of A.J. Brown, that's for sure.
That's for sure. There's a huge dead cap hit with A.J. Brown, and it's tough because when he is on, baby. I don't think we mm-hmm. won our Super Bowl without him, but this playoffs, he just had a couple of drops. Granted, you know, Devonta Smith had a couple of drops. We're not getting rid of him, but it's just, this is the moment, right, where you wish you could just count on your guys, and it's just, this reminded me, this is maybe a very niche example, but it's like, in Pokemon, there are some moves that have like a 95% accuracy or a 90% accuracy. And so normally you're smashing them, no problem. But then that one time you just really need this hit to land. It's like, oops, you missed. And it's like, there you are just sitting as you just know it's like game over. Like you lost.
So. We saw a few. Puka Nacua had one of those. Like it was a big open yeah. touchdown. He just completely went right through his hands. Mm-hmm. I want to say there was another stud that did too. I remember the A.J. Brown one for sure. Like you said, 99 out of 100 times it happens. This was that one. And unfortunately, you needed that one. A.J. Brown, it's going to be wild, absolutely wild to watch him leave. I think in 99% of franchise situations, you don't. This is one that I could see it being happening just because of how good the Eagles GM is and how he maneuvers. He has no problem finessing and trading and acquiring and moving. So, like, I wouldn't see that out of the realm of possibilities. Devonta Smith can be a one in this league. He absolutely can be a one.
Absolutely.
Now, they are going to need a two and a three. They don't really have a three yes. here. Dotson just clearly did not work for him. Covey comes out there a little bit. He's got the special teams, but they will need to acquire a good two and a decent three behind Devonta Smith because he is the Slim Reaper, you know, like soaking wet. He's 150 pounds. But I think this team could function. I think a lot of the question comes to Jalen Hurts, though, too.
Yes, Jalen Hurts is going to always get his criticism. Like I did see some fair criticism on the 3rd and 11 for the second to last play of their season, where it looked like he had Devonta Smith open and it was just a little too high. So that's like a great example. If that ball is placed perfectly, Smith catches it. I mean, this we could be talking about where do the 49ers go from here. But instead,
100%.
Instead, that's just kind of how the ball falls. And it's just, like I said, it's on to next year. You gave yourself an extra month of figuring out what next year is going to look like. So that's a luxury you get.
And Tanner McKee, backup quarterback, will be a free agent as well. And folks, it's crazy, but football, I mean, fans, they're fanatics. They're crazy too. There's Philadelphia Hives that think that Tanner McKee is better than Jalen Hurts. Now, yeah, I like to endorse those Hives because I think conspiracies are fun. But like the thought that they would make some sort of pivot just seems that much more crazy. But Tanner McKee, we've seen him do pretty good in the time that he's filled in. But maybe we won't quite humor that yet.
No, we're not there yet. I mean, also, those same fans probably watched him play against Washington, and we could have been playing the Packers if Tanner McKee was a little bit better. So let's relax on the Mormon missile.
Hey, there's a chance that maybe this team wanted to lose because they wanted to lose their head coach and go a different direction. So, like, you know what?
The head coach thing is crazy to me. The head coach thing is
crazy. It's not, man. Two seasons are completely wasted because he made the wrong offensive coordinator. He made the wrong choice there, and he's not good enough to fix that choice himself.
Well, again, I will give him a little bit of leeway that when you win the Super Bowl, everybody else has already found a job. And then you know your guy's out the door. You know your guy's been interviewing for a head coaching position. And it's like right now, would I rather have Kellen Moore or Nick Sirianni as the head coach? Like, I would rather Nick Sirianni. You know, like, I think he's just the way.
No way. No yeah, way absolutely. You would rather have Nick Sirianni than Kellen Moore.
I think so. I think you would. I think it's just, listen, you need a leader of men. I like what Kellen Moore is doing, but it's just, you need it all to mesh together.
Oh, it's your team. I respect it. Holding tight. I mean, look at me. I'm saying keep Ballard for one more year, but that's just because I want him to sit in
this.
That's because I want him to sit in the mess he made, and that is not my stamp of
approval. You need someone to clean the mess. Clean the mess.
They got nothing to clean with. You're showing up to a cleaning party and you've got no sponge, no paper towels. You're working with a rock and
you take a sock. Anything. You just need to start cleaning.
That sock is muddy. You pulled it out of the mud puddle. That ain't helping. Oh, goodness. But the Niners, they're playing next week. They, of course, get the get the rematch with the oh my God, drawing a blank. Chicago. Yes, so that one will be fun. It was an absolute barn burner last time. Let's see if Todgers can fill in.
No, the Rams are going to Chicago. 49ers are going to Seattle Saturday.
Oh, yes, it's that rematch. That's what it is. It's that rematch. There we go.
We'll get more in depth in those in the Friday episode. That's why that one we'll know for sure who's playing who.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like we said, still waiting to see if Tomlin can pull it off tonight. Last game we've got here to talk about, it's the Chargers losing to the Patriots, 3-16. This one wasn't as exciting as the last one. As you kind of alluded to earlier, it was pretty close for a good chunk of the game. Chargers went down there at the goal line, elected to go for it on fourth down instead of kicking it. You know, that just making it a little bit closer. Wish they would have got the touchdown just to keep it that much closer. But nonetheless, Herbert, didn't you squat?
I know. Okay. So we should start with the Patriots, give the winning team their flowers, but I'm not, because it's our show. We can do what we want. I saw. So one thing, I appreciate that this game was on NBC, because of course the NBC PFF connection, they'll always see the PFF grades and ranks for the players. When the Chargers line was going through their grades, I just want to read off a couple of the starters. You had Trey Pipkins III, who's ranked 39 out of 40 for right tackles. Mekhi Becton, who I love, Eagle forever. I wish he came back, but congrats on getting the bag. 36 out of 37 for guards. Ooh. And their center, Bradley Roseman, 41 out of 41. He is the 41st ranked center. Like, there's 32 teams. There are backups that came in and did the job better than him. So Justin Herbert, this was bad. And like, listen, Justin Herbert, I think he's 0-3 in the playoffs. I think he has 2 touchdown passes. I think he's going to get his fair share of criticism. I think he's getting a little extra criticism, and it's just, I feel for the Chargers, because they knew what the problem was, offensive line. They re-signed Joe Alt. They went out and signed another guy, big money, and then they signed Mekhi Becton, good money. Mekhi Becton ended up stinking. I hate to see that, but the other two got hurt, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know what you do, Brian, when it's like, we have a problem. Here's money to fix the problem. Oh, no, they got hurt. Like, it's out of your control.
It's cruel mistake. Yeah, you know, no matter where you sit on the, you know, interior, exterior part of the offensive line is the most important. When you lose your left tackle and your right tackle, it's devastating. And we saw that. That's why QJ was so great. I mean, granted, they lost their left tackle before the season even began. But, like, that's what, you know, they kicked Joe Alt over there to the left side. And it was great. QJ was awesome. We were getting deep passes. Herbert had plenty of time. And then that's when things changed. That's when, you know, he started running even more. He didn't have that kind of time. And, you know, Omarion Hampton got hurt. 1 carry for -1 yard. Kamani Vidal, 11 for 31. Like, they couldn't get anything done. They had no time back there. This New England defense was just swallowing them. And I guess I don't look at this as a bad situation. You know, we've seen Harbaugh come in here, and we've seen change. Like, we're seeing gradual steps being taken forward. Would we have loved to see them knock out a win, you know, this year and advance? Absolutely. You're playing the 2 seed. You know, Patriots, it's a hot team this year. And you had some really devastating things happen. So I think they come back next year, and I think we can see them advancing at least to the divisional. If cards fall right, maybe farther. But, like, I don't take anything away from Herbert in this one. This was just a rough situation.
I agree. I think he's gotten a little too much slander, but it is really tough when the resume is starting to stack this much against you. 0 for 3 in the playoffs, 2 touchdown passes total. Like, you didn't get any in this game. You got sacked 6 times. It's tough. You can only do so much on your own, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Josh Allen. You know, he was able to just get it done, but he had no help. He had absolutely no help yesterday. No.
And you have to truly be a Superman for that. So that's the Chargers. They have a lot of question marks. The Patriots, look, they beat a playoff team. Like, you can argue how much of a playoff team the Chargers were based on how they looked last night, but they were, in fact, a playoff team, so credit to them. And they're going to move on for at least one more game, hosting of the winner of the Monday night game last night. So it'll be really interesting to see how those two match up.
honestly, this team, well, I guess the running backs look good, but like this team looks less complete when you look at the wide receivers than the Chargers do. Like, yeah, you've got up and coming Ladd McConkey, you've got the veteran stud in Keenan Allen, you've got the versatile piece in Quentin Johnston, Trey Harris, the rookie that it's started to ascend. Great stuff over Brad there. We've got Jackson. Booty. Streaking Booty. You never know what's going to be happening there. Stephon Diggs, who can't get a strangle on what he wants to do. See what he did there. And then, you know, Kyle Williams, Douglas. It's just a mishmash of guys here. And this team is going to stumble into probably the AFC Championship. I mean, if they play in Houston, that defense is no joke. But, like, the Steelers, man. I'm kind of rooting for them now just because they're the underdog and it's fun. But just, I don't know. The Patriots don't seem to have a real challenge. Maybe
which is so funny that we can't quit that narrative, right? It's just like they could get into the Super Bowl. And it's just like, yeah, but like, is that Super Bowl team even that tough? It's like, credit to them. They're showing up. They're winning when they need to. People said that the Eagles had a matchup where it's just like, you know, what's the 49ers on? Their seventh, eighth, ninth linebacker. And you lose Kittle. So listen, some games, you still got to win it. You got to do the fundamentals. And they got home. They sacked Herbert 6 times. Drake May got sacked 5 times. So their offensive line is still a huge problem. But he got it done. I mean, he scrambled 10 times for 66 yards. Drake May did.
That will be the issue if they go up against Houston or Steelers, the good Steelers show up against them. Drake May was under duress quite a bit. You know, that interception wasn't the prettiest thing out there. I thought the Chargers were going to do something with it. But they didn't.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
It's just weird looking at like the teams that are in the playoffs right now, and I keep telling myself, I'm like, this isn't real. These aren't the teams that are truly should be competing for the playoffs.
Right.
But like at the end of the day, these are just the best teams. It's just such a weird season.
It's a weird year.
That it feels like these aren't the teams that should be here.
It reminds me of the year where the NFL tweeted out a graphic where it's just like the four quarterbacks left for the 2017 year when the Eagles won it all.
Oh, yes.
And the quarterbacks were Blake Bortles, not Darnold, whoever was the quarterback for the Vikings at the time. Case Keenum. Yeah, it was just the four jerseys. And it was just Foles, Keenum, Bortles, Brady. And it's just like, what is even you know, another year where Brady gets to walk into the Super Bowl and like beats nobody.
Because I was irate going into the championship or the conference champion. Because I'm like, no, this isn't fair. Not only is Brady going to make it to the Super Bowl, but he has to play one of these three dinguses and he's going to win it. And I was, folks, again, I'm a Colts fan, okay? I've got a lot of deep scarring, a lot of deep childhood trauma because of the Patriots. I'm allowed to hate them as much as I do. And you all, honestly, if you're not a Patriots fan, everybody should hate the Patriots as much as any other team. Come on. It's the Pats. Yeah, it's been too good for too long.
So it is crazy. You know, it could be another situation where it's just like they had to play nobody. But half of it, you know, rather be lucky than good. Like, you have to be able to strike when the iron's hot. Like, there are going to be years when the Lamars and the Mahomes miss out, and those are the windows. Somebody needs to win in those windows, and it's the time to strike. So credit to them. They're alive one more week at least.
One more week. Mario, before we get out of here, let's check out the odds for the head coaching going into Monday night. Right now for Arizona, Vance Joseph, DC for the Broncos, is the leading favorite. Mike McCarthy, Clint Kubiak's behind that. Sounds like they're going in back, right, and back. Hasn't Vance Joseph been the head coach of the Cardinals?
It sounded familiar. When you said Vance Joseph, he did sound familiar. We're going to have to do a quick Wikipedia page search.
Was he the Buccaneers? I feel like it's a red team that he was with.
I have no idea. This guy doesn't look familiar. Oh, Broncos. He was the head coach of the Broncos, 2017-18. Right. And then he was defensive coordinator for the Cardinals.
That's okay. That's what it was. I was like,
After being a DC for the Cardinals, he went back to the Broncos as a DC.
Yeah, that's where he's at now. Atlanta. Go for it.
That's all. No, that's all. It's just crazy to like get fired as a head coach and then come back a few years later and just like, hey guys, like, all right, I'm really good at one side of the ball. Like, you can agree with that. I can agree with that. Let's just, bygones are bygones.
Right. You identified the talent. You just put me in the wrong position. Atlanta's got Kevin Stefanski at number one, Clint Kubiak at two, Cliff Kingsbury at three. Wow, there's a joke to be made right there, but I'm not going to make it.
Oh, that is an interesting job there with Atlanta, but I still have the question marks. I don't know if Penix is going to be the guy. Like we talked about how we believe about the openings. I think Atlanta is still not a great one, but we saw what this guy did in Cleveland with his quarterback. So if anyone could make Penix look like somebody, it could be him.
We've got Baltimore with Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator for the Rams. You got Brian Flores, who's walking as the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Crazy that they're not re-upping his contract. Maybe that's his choice of walking. I haven't looked into that one. Clint Kubiak's there for Baltimore as well. Cleveland, this one's weird. Jim Schwartz, their defensive coordinator, is number one. Mike McDaniel is number two. I like that. Clint Kubiak, number three. But has it? I need to look at his past because I don't remember. But hasn't Jim Schwartz been the head coach for the Browns before? I just feel like we've seen him in the. It's one of these guys. He bounces.
He was head coach. He was head coach of the Lions for 4 years, in like the late 2000s. I don't know the exact.
09 to 13.
He was head coach of the Lions for quite a few years. And then he was a defensive coordinator because he was for the Eagles for 3 or 4 years. And he was terrific. I really hated seeing him leave the Eagles defensive coordinator.
Lions stint, I remember, with when they were like historically bad.
They were kind of down bad. Like I'm looking right now, he has like about a 36% win percentage.
That one just seems so bad, though. Cleveland, their defense is good. They don't need a defensive coach. Like, get a good DC 100%, but you need a smart offensive mind.
Yeah, I worry that they almost want to – look, I know everyone will take a job, right? Because, like, there's only 32 of these jobs. You'll take one if you can. But if I'm someone like a Mike McDaniel, it's just like I almost would feel like I would do better as an OC for 2 years, and then you jump back into the head coaching pool. Like, I would just look at what's going on in Cleveland's situation, because to me, it's just like their defense is electric, but nothing excites you on the offensive side. So I could see Jim Schwartz having that opportunity just because nobody else wants the job.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to hold down this great defense until 2027 when they can get rid of Deshaun Watson.
Exactly. And then, you know, you fire whoever the holdover guy was, and then a name always appears, right? A name always appears.
Vegas, Brian Flores, number one, Clint Kubiak, two, John Harbaugh, three. It's weird that Brian Flores would be one going to Vegas. Like, you don't need a defensive guy. You're about to take a quarterback. I mean, I guess it depends on what they're doing there at quarter. If they're taking Mendoza or whatever, they're at number one. But, like, why would you put Brian Flores with a rookie? We saw him with Tua. We saw him with, like, unless he's got a great OC Tua in mind in his pocket, which I don't know if he does. What are you doing?
No, and it is so interesting, right? Like, a lot of these top candidates we're talking about are coordinators that were, I don't want to say failed head coaches, that feels mean, but they were unsuccessful head coaches. Brian Flores, Jim Schwartz, Vance Joseph. Just, it's so interesting. I mean, if Cliff Kingsbury gets an opportunity, I know he got fired as OC from Washington. There are all these guys who had a chance, and listen, it doesn't always work the first time, but it doesn't always work the second time either.
Well, and it's the fact that four of these five top names are all defensive guys. I thought that we were learning. Crazy. It's the offensive guys. Next one, Miami. Jeff Hafley. John Harbaugh is two. Vance Joseph is three. Jeff Hafley, who's he? Oh, he's the defensive coordinator for the Packers. Yeah, that team that's giving up all of these bad games, these double-digit games we were talking about earlier. Like, again, a defensive coordinator. Why?
He must be a leader of men, that guy, because I have not heard his name before. To me, that's the John Harbaugh favorite to me, is Miami. And I think that would be great football.
I've seen that. So right now, John Harbaugh is the betting favorite for the Giants. Kevin Stefanski's two. Like, a lot of what I've seen is John Harbaugh will go to either the Giants or Atlanta, and then Kevin Stefanski goes to the one that's remaining. But again, all speculation. I love him with the Giants, you know. Go add a little structure. Leader of men, you know. And go get Mike McDaniel as the OC.
That would really hurt me. I would love Mike McDaniel as the OC for my team.
I know you would, but that ain't happening.
We got to fire our OC for
him. I hope he's got bad blood from the Niners days and he just won't go there.
That would be OC. Crazy.
I think he should go there as a head coach. I'm on board.
Again, this guy went to the playoffs 4 years in a row. Like, he went to the Super Bowl two times in the last 4 years.
Hey, this sounds like argument that they said for keeping Mike Tomlin for all these years.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about the Mike Tomlin. He gets in the playoffs every single year. I don't know. Like, what do you want? Like, some of these fans, it's like you're getting to the playoffs. Like, it's really hard to get into the NFL playoffs. This isn't basketball where it's like, congrats, you're in the East. You won 35 games. Welcome to the play-in.
Lastly, we've got the Tennessee Titans. Looks like what is a smart franchise here. Matt Nagy, Kevin Stefanski, Mike McDaniel. Offense, offense, offense. Let's go. Let's go aid our number one overall pick that we have all of our assets tied into. Let's go fix him rather than worry about the freaking defense that's old and aging.
But Matt Nagy, another guy who had a chance and didn't look good.
Mitch Trubisky. He had Mitch Trubisky, and he went to the playoffs with him. So Matt Nagy's one I'm willing to give a mulligan to. Because, like, not all these guys I think should be one and done. Some of them, absolutely. Some of these guys are just meant to be coordinators. But I will say, some of these guys do deserve second chances. They get, you know, a bad hand probably here pretty soon. Aaron Glenn probably deserves another chance at some point, you know, because he went to the Jets. Robert Saleh, you know, he went to the Jets, probably deserves another chance. Rex Ryan got another chance. He got, like, 10 chances.
Yeah. You're right. I will say, yeah, it'll be so interesting what happens there in Tennessee. Matt Nagy maybe gets a pass, but I just, when I close my eyes and think of Matt Nagy, I'm just like the double doink picture where he's just there, mouth open. And like, again, anytime there's a three frames of you mouth open, I don't know.
He can't help that, you know, double doink. That wasn't his fault.
Are you kidding? Like, it's just like, it's a gift too, where it just zooms in on his face and his mouth is just open and he's just like dumbfounded. Because how could you not be? But
poor Matthew. Poor Matthew Nagy. Nagathan?
Oh my God.
So what Nagy short for?
It's just so fun. Like, he's just mouth open and it zooms in on him. And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Crazy, crazy, folks. Well, we hope you enjoyed last night. So we haven't seen it yet, so don't tell us. But we're going to be watching this game here next. We can't thank you enough for coming to hang out with us in the off-season program where Brian and Mario are just causing all sorts of havoc. Mario, if people are looking for more of you, where can they find you?
Yes, where can you find me? You'll find me on Twitter, at Mario Adamo Jr. And you'll just find me mostly in the podcast. Articles, we're slowing down with the articles. I'm not doing a lot of writing this off-season. Podcasters need breaks, too. Maybe I'll sneak out something, but should be good. But Brian, the people need more Brian. Where do I get more Brian?
That's right. It's going to be at @too_much_Brian on Twitter. Everything I do is going to be run up through there. My podcast, Too Much Fantasy Football, Too Much Movie Night. And of course, always here on the QB List podcast. Folks, we're going to keep bringing you stuff. We have, you know, like Mario said, articles are slowing down over there on football.pitcherlist.com. But if you are just that crazy multi-sport psycho, you're looking for more baseball content, you know where it's at. It's over there on Pitcher List. Go check them out. They're getting ready for, I don't know, when's baseball start this spring? Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see y'all later.
Peace.